not only not a cliche, it's really an understatement to describe yesterday as one of the darkest days in Israeli history, in modern Jewish history, and perhaps even all of Jewish history to some extent. More Jews killed yesterday than at any single day since the Holocaust. That is, in addition, the sheer numbers are already astounding. That doesn't even take into account the psychological trauma of one's home being invaded. And it doesn't take into account the psychological trauma of the horrific and barbaric way that so many people were killed, the way their bodies have been treated. Doesn't take into account the injured. It doesn't take into account what, as far as I most recently saw, was approximately 100 confirmed captives in Gaza. It's way, way too much for the human mind to comprehend. And in one day, it's mind-boggling. I am not special at all, and my family is not special at all. We're no different, we're no worse, but we're also no better than any other family in Israel, than any other family in the Jewish people. But just to give you a little bit of a sense of what it was like for me and for my family yesterday, not because we're special, but just because it's an illustration. Whichever minyan you were davening in, unless you davened very early, your davening and your hakafos were being interrupted by sirens, as was ours. And yet somehow we were all doing our best, basically because we were ignorant. We had no idea just how bad it was to have a Simchas Yomtif. And all of a sudden, at least for me, I'm embarrassed to admit, I think at that moment I actually wasn't dancing. One of the ninth graders from the shul says to me, Rabbi Gottlieb, your son Yosef is looking for you. In the moment, I thought I couldn't hear him because of the noise of the singing, but I realized after the fact it wasn't an issue of my hearing. I couldn't comprehend what he was saying because Yosef is in his yeshiva in Yerucham. What's he doing in Ramat Beit Shemesh? It felt like forever, but of course it was probably about a second till I figured it out. So my mind is processing, what does it mean for my son, a yeshiva bacher, to have driven himself on Shabbos from Yerucham to Ramat Beit Shemesh, had incredible wherewithal. Instead of just packing up and leaving, he thought enough to find his parents to say goodbye. How do you put into words what it means as a father when your son, you don't know when you'll see him again, after whispering all the things he already knows and telling me where he's going and what his responsibilities are, says, Abba, can you give me a bracha? Somehow we went back to dancing. Like everybody else, we had our kiddush. Went home, relaxed, came back to shul, mincha. We were having a beautiful nilas achag. We were singing much like this. Beautiful, together. When all of a sudden, just a few minutes before the end of the nilas achag, before we were going to go into Maariv, I don't even remember if someone, I can't remember, did someone tap me on the shoulder or did I see other people staring behind me? But I look, and there's another son, Yaakov. So it's not that my ears can't hear, but it's that my eyes can't see. What's Yaakov doing here? Yaakov's in Yerushalayim. Of course, at this point, it wasn't as much of a shock. So I rushed out, and he explains to me also, in 10 minutes, he's getting picked up. I have to help him pack up, get his uniform, etc. And of course, at this point, not only do I have a second son involved, it took on a whole other level of significance because unlike my first son, who is currently serving, he's in Sadir, Yaakov already finished the service. He's in Miluim. If they're calling up Miluim, it's obviously a whole nother level than just bringing up everyone who's in Sadir. And again, had the same experience, took him to his car, he had two friends who were picking him up. And again, the same thing. I guess it was part of my denial. I didn't want to transition the conversation into what he was about to go into. But again, he, like his brother a few hours earlier, Abba, can you give me a bracha? By that point, of course, we understood that we're in a whole nother level, even before reading the news and before understanding how horrible it was. And of course, right after we made Havdalah, our first phone call is to my daughter in Yerushalayim. And at this point, it's no surprise, her husband, who was a katzin in Miluim, had already been called up, had said goodbye to my wife and grandson hours before. She's alone, obviously, a very difficult situation, but get her, bring her back home. And that's how we find ourselves with two sons and a son-in-law who are currently in harm's way, defending Am Yisrael, defending Eretz Yisrael. And I stress again, I didn't share any of that with you because my sons are special, because I'm special, our family is special, we're not special at all. There are thousands and thousands of other families going through the exact same thing. And Rachmana Litzlan, there are so many whose day yesterday was far worse than I can even imagine. We're insulated to some extent living where we are. That, maybe I'm wrong, but at least most of us, and I personally at least, don't yet know anyone personally who was a real victim yesterday. But we can't, it's a whole nother level completely when you talk about the people who live in the South and what they went through yesterday. We're gathering here, and I thank, I won't mention any names because I don't want to forget anybody, but I thank everyone who took the initiative, and I especially thank, and I'm grateful that we have multiple shuls and an entire community being represented, as it should be. I could tell you, as some of you probably know, in addition to my role in the shul, I'm also the director of Tzalash, which is an organization that helps soldiers, religious soldiers. So most of my time, other than being a father and a little bit of a rabbi, but since the end of Yontif, I've been spending in that capacity, and obviously we're quite intense and busy now. And just to get, again, to give you a sense, because we're not any special as an organization even, but a huge chunk of my staff, including my CEO, was called up. There's only one other man. He's a little younger than me. I'm the Altakacher. But there's, and our whole staff, I think we're 14 employees, there's only two men and the women who are left because everyone else was called up. So through that role that I have and that schus that I have, so I've been in touch not only with two out of my three sons who I can talk to, at least for now, one son's already incommunicado, but I've been in touch with many other soldiers and officers through my work. And at least so far, Bli Ayin Hara, incredibly, they're in good spirits, they're brave, and they really are ready for their mission. And what they will do, what they have to do, what the government has to do, what unfortunately clearly wasn't done, not only is there time for that, none of that affects anybody in this room. Question is, and this is what I want to just spend a few more minutes addressing, is what are we to do? It's natural, it's even healthy to some extent, to be following the news. Don't think it's necessarily healthy to be obsessively following the news, even though it's understandable too. But it's important, I'd say it's positive, not just natural, because Imo Amnochi Batsara requires you to know what's going on. It's not a frumkeit to be in the clouds. If you don't know what's going on, if you haven't seen some of the reports, if you haven't looked at some of those pictures and videos, you can't feel what you need to feel. It's a chiyuv. of Ima Anochi Batsara, and you have to know what's going on. You have to know the tsara in order to feel it. But even that's not tachlis. What are the things that we can do? The soldiers have their mission. What's our mission? And the answer, I believe, is very straightforward in Chazal. It is a partnership. Again, not only as a father, but even in my professional capacity, I am certainly a supporter of the role of Hishtadlus in defending Eretz Yisrael. And that's why we have an army, that's why we have brave soldiers, and clearly they have a role. But it's also clear in numerous sources that that's the kli, that's the tip of the spear. But the koach of a Jewish army, whether it was the time of the Chumash, the Tanakh, or now, is a spiritual force. And if we'll have Hashem on our side, we'll be victorious. And the only question is, how can we merit that Shmira and that Bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And one has to do nothing but a brief survey of the Midrashim and the Gemaras to see that Chazal, time and time again, emphasize three different points. And none of this, again, not to belabor the point, but to emphasize the obvious point, none of this is ever intended instead of an army. But what do we need to do with an army to merit to be successful? And it's clear in Chazal that the olam of our success will be omed on three regalim. Numerous sources, Gemaras, Midrashim, speak about the importance of Torah. The Gemara Megillah famously says that Yoshua, even as a general about to go into battle, was given tochacha, was chided by the Malach, for not learning enough, for Bittul Torah. So on a practical level, that is a madrega that we can't even imagine, and it also is not relevant to anyone in this room, because that was relevant to the soldiers themselves. But it shows the importance of Talmud Torah as a weapon in our fight. Additionally, there's other Mamari Chazal, Omdus Hayu Ragleinu B'Milchama, B'Schus Sharish Yerushalayim, She'oskim B'Torah. It's not either or. That is a false choice that unfortunately we too often get caught up in. It was always intended to be both. Until there will be a Geula, we need soldiers and an army, and we need people learning. First chus is Torah. So while I don't think it's that realistic for most soldiers in the upcoming days and weeks to be learning that much, halavai they can, but the rest of us, I would humbly suggest every single person here make a Kabbalah, Bli Neder, to learn more than usual. In this room, everyone is at different levels. Some people learn a little more, a little less generally. But whatever you usually do, add something. Doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter exactly how much time. But there has to be a commitment of Talmud Torah. That's the first regel on which our Nitzachon will stand, and that we, as in really more than the soldiers, can contribute. Number two, Chazal tell us, based on the famous Pasuk of Elif Lamata, if I remember correctly, I think it's the Yalkut Shimoni, it's not quoted enough, but the Yalkut Shimoni Dafka says, Shnei Masar Elif Shohayu, that were the Shomrim, Kelehem, there were those 12,000 who went to war. V'shnei Masar Elef, the Tefillah. The second weapon that we have at our disposal and in our arsenal is Tefillah. Now this I can tell you, again as an outsider, but someone who has a little bit of a way of connecting, this the Chayalim are doing for themselves. Obviously the religious Chayalim, but not surprisingly, even those who are a little less, how shall we say, technically observant usually, but there's obviously an instinct for themselves. We're launching in Salash, hopefully it'll be public by tonight or tomorrow, hopefully an international initiative of gathering names of soldiers and having Jews, not only in Israel, but hopefully around the world, adopt a soldier. Everyone should take the name of one soldier they should be davening for. And we've been, this is what I spent giving a part of my day, reaching out to the various units to get names, soldiers who want them to be davened for. It wasn't just religious soldiers who responded. So there's a tremendous sensitivity of the chayilim themselves, and that's obvious. But again, this is something that is incumbent on us, at least as much, if not more, than on the chayilim. We need to focus on our koach hatfilah. And we all know, now is not the time for a belabored shir and tefillah, but Chazal knew it in their day, and we know it in our day, that many people struggle with tefillah. It's one of the things that's om dimaruma shalolam, and yet, tzrichin chizuk. So, if it needs chizuk, then now is the time to mechazuk ourselves. Whether it's a little extra time in your davening, a little focus on a particular bracha, this time, there should be many tefillos that jump out at us. Those who can add extra tefillos. There's a beautiful initiative that I know many people in this room took part of already last night, of dividing up the whole 24-hour day into 48, 30-minute periods. People are taking Tehillim throughout the day. That's an incredible effort. There are many different things. For some people, Tehillim speak to them. For some people, it'll be other things, the regular tefillos. But to somehow figure out a way to strengthen ourselves in tefillah. Rav Moshe Feinstein, among others, pointed out in a completely different context, but he pointed out that tefillah be'es tzara is really a kiyum in amuna. It's, if you want to say it in a pithy way, it's basically Rav Moshe paskening there are no atheists in a foxhole. That's why Rav Moshe assumes, for example, that non-Jews are chayiv in davening be'es tzara, even though it's not one of the Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, ostensibly. It says Rav Moshe, it is, because non-Jews are also have a chiyuv in emunah. And if you have emunah, then if you're in a crisis, you turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if when you're in a crisis, you still can't daven, unfortunately that's a chisaron in emunah. So we have to be mechazik ourselves in our emunah, and that has to express itself in our tefillah. And really, 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 we all believe. What does that mean to believe? It's not enough to believe in Hashem. That's abstract. It's even cheap to say. What it really means is we have to believe in the koach hatfila. And I've said this in other contexts. I believe it true, unfortunately. Many, many people, I mean from people, don't really, really believe in the koach hatfila. Many, many years ago when he was visiting Baltimore, I had an opportunity to speak a little bit to the Mashkiach of Matisyo Solomon. We were speaking about the problem of talking in shul. At the time I said to him, I was a young rabbi, so I was naive. I said to him, it was perplexing to me. How could it be that people who really seem to be frum and were yeshiva educated, and yet they talk in shul? And he looked at me, I'll never forget. He was sitting at a desk, I was standing next to him. He looked up to me and he said, they don't believe in tefillah. It's a blunt thing to say. I think there's a profound truth to it. So this is a time. This is a time where we have to be mechazik ourselves, not just to believe in Hashem, but to believe in the koach hatfilah, that Hashem actually listens, that He could do something about it. I believe it was 2 or 3 years ago, in our shul, in Mem Shalosh, that Rav Meir Tversky pointed out when he was speaking before Purim. He likes to speak about this. His name was a Talmidim of his nose. He always speaks about this, that the Rambam says the whole purpose of Purim. What's the whole purpose of Purim? The Rambam says to teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the tefillah of Am Yisrael Be'ez Tzara. It's an unbelievable Rambam. So this is the time to mechazik ourselves in tefillah. And last but not least, the third regel upon which the leg of our nitzachon will stand, and the thing that we can do as much, if not more, than the chayilim for their success is achdus and ahavas Yisrael. There are so many Mamari Chazal that don't just extol Achdus and Ahavas Yisrael in general, but specifically, connect it to the safety of the Jewish people, and specifically connect it to our success in battle. For example, the Gemara says, the Medrash, I forget exactly where, Bezman shekol Yisrael ba'aguda achas, ein kol uma v'loshon yichola lishlot ben. If we're unified, if there's true achdus in the Jewish people, No one could touch us. It's probably not an insightful thing or a chiddush for any that I would say that the last few months have been about as far from that as anyone could remember in modern history. I'm not suggesting it's way above my pay grade. I'm not suggesting that's why what happened. Chas v'shalom, I have no idea. But lamaisa, you don't need to be a Navi or a Chacham, and I'm neither, to realize that there's a lot to be metaken on that front. But it's not just in general. There's an incredible Yerushalmi in Masechta Peah. I always come back to this whenever, unfortunately, these type of situations arise. It's a powerful Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi contrasts Doro Shel David HaMelech and Doro Shel Achav HaRasha. Says the Gemara, Doro Shel David Shayu Bo Tinokos Shiyadu Lidrosh Esatora Memtes Ponim Letahor Memtes Ponim Letomei. There was incredible Torah scholarship and mastery. High level of Torah learning. A frumkeit. And yet, says the Gemara, Yotzen Lemilchama Vinoflin. For all of David's successes, there were defeats, there were casualties. And the Gemara contrasts this, despite their incredibly high level of observance, with the door of Achav, which the Gemara says, Kulan ovde avodah zarah hayu. And yet, ayidei shelohaya behen delturin, haya yotzen lemilchama v'notzchim. Even though they were as wicked as can be, ovde avodah zarah, and yet they were, relatively speaking, even more successful with even less casualties than David HaMelech's generation, not because they were tzaddikim, because they got along. They had achdus, they had avas Yisrael, there wasn't machlokas, there wasn't sinas chinam, and there wasn't divisiveness. So you have an incredible Gemara specifically talking to our situation, the situation of war. And of course, it's not a contradiction. Each of these sources are powerful and they stand on their own. But when you do this survey of the sources, it's clear that really we need all three. And again, to the extent that they can, and I'm sure they are, I know they are, the soldiers themselves are doing their best in all three of these realms. But what excuse is there for us if we're not? The narishkeit, the pettiness, the things that we get stuck with, the things that hold us back, the feeling that we have towards the neighbor who's not exactly like us, that little bile that kind of comes up in our throat when we look to the person down the block who sent their kids to the other school. All of that horrible stuff. Who can say they're clean from that? Who can say they're innocent of that? Who didn't have to clap that al chait just a few days ago? So if that's something we are supposed to be working on all the time, alachas kama v'kama now, who could stand up and say my tefillah doesn't need any improvement? We all can work on our tefillah. And if not now, then when? And who can say honestly that they learn every free moment that they have? Even if the free moment may only be 30 minutes a day, how many people are using that 30 minutes or that 15 minutes, let alone that hour or whatever? Every person's schedule is different. But we can all do better in all of these areas, and clearly all three of these are intended to be the three regalim upon which not only the nitzachon can depend, but more importantly, we shouldn't feel passive. We shouldn't feel that we're like just as driftwood going along the water, and every few minutes there'll be an alert on our phone or on Times of Israel or whatever particular news channel you're following, and each time it just means that the wood will be drifting a little bit more this way, just passive to the forces of history. That's not the way a Jew lives. We are a master of our own destiny. We have agency. And every one of us has a role. The ultimate success, when will it happen? How much pain will there be between now and then? That is out of our hands completely. That is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But our children, our brothers, our nephews, our cousins, our friends, our neighbors, they are putting their lives literally on the line for every one of us. We owe it to them. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do everything that we can. And if there are other kabbalos, other mitzvos that you can take upon yourself, other ways you can improve, matovu manaim. But at the very least, let's focus our energies on these three areas, which Chazal tell us are skulos, are necessary weapons in our spiritual arsenal, specifically at the time of war. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protect all of those in harm way. May he grant the refuah shelema to all those who desperately need it. I'm going to say a few Tehillim now. I hope people brought Tehillim books. I'll say maybe five Tehillim. Does that make sense? Then we'll do the Misha Beros. Okay.